We do serve an amazing God, a God of transformation. And one of the things that she said is she felt trapped. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get us into that place where we feel trapped and there's no way out. And people who wind up taking their life are at a point where they feel so trapped, nothing or no one can help them. But Jesus is there. God is there. And all we have to do is call out to Him. And He will come. God will come where He's invited. God, if you invite God into your mess, into your problem, into your situation, God will come in. And He may not do anything in a matter of seconds, but allow God to come in. Give Him that. Open the door for God. You know, we're familiar with Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him. I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. I will come in and sit down and we can just fellowship together. That's God's invitation. And this is a powerful Sunday. And this is one of the things that I am. Did you ever hear that phrase, something can pull your trigger? Nobody ever heard that phrase? Okay. This can really pull my trigger. And I don't want to get on my own personal soapbox. I don't want to be political. I want to be biblical. Because that's what this message, a few things for a few minutes I want to share with you, is about. And if you have your Bibles and you want to open to the book of Genesis, looking at a familiar passage, and we know that God is the author of life. Life originates in Him. Acts tells us, the writer of Acts tells us that in Him, Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our very being. Jesus is the author of life. And so we see here in Genesis chapter 1, we find God in the beginning. God said, let there be, and there was. And you read down through Genesis chapter 1, and we see the things that God creates just by the very power of His word. And then He comes to verse 26, and then He says, and God said, let us, indicating that He's not there by Himself. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are there. And so God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. God wants them to multiply. God wants them to increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over everything living creature that moves on the ground. Drop down to verse 31. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God looked at His creation. He looked at humanity. He looked at the male and female that He had created and said, it's very good. God looks at you and He says, you're very good. Father, we just want to commit, Lord, this word to You. And I truly ask the Holy Spirit to help me to rightly divide Your word. We commit this time to You. I ask that You hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, You get all the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we looked at sanctity of life, it refers to the idea that human life is sacred, holy, and precious. You are sacred, you are holy, and you are precious to God this morning. And now there are issues today that people are truly passionate about. We see people in the world that are passionate about things. We see the pro-choice movement. There is a group of people that are really passionate about that. But then we see the pro-life group, and they are passionate about that. Friday was March for Life in Washington, D.C. And I don't know a number, but there were thousands of people who braved the cold weather to come out and march for life, to take a stand for the sanctity of life. And we see even within the church that there are people that are passionate. Adrienne said she's passionate about praise and worship. And we too, as a church, ought to be passionate about our worship. We ought to be passionate about prayer. We ought to be passionate about the Word of God. We ought to be passionate about coming together to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. But then the question arises, how much of the world, its customs and behavior, seeks or moves into the church? Last Sunday in the Sunday school class that we sat in on, the question was raised, how much of the world or its culture is affecting the church, or how much of the church is affecting the culture around us? And we see a lot of things going on in the world today in this country, things that are in legislation now that to me is unbelievable. Maybe you're the same way. It's truly unbelievable. There are some nutcases out there. I guess it's okay to say that in church. But there is. But in the Bible, there are absolutes. There are those truths, those teachings that will never change. Never change. These are the words of Jesus. They will never change. We are familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That verse was for Adrian. That verse was for every one of us. Verse 17 says that God didn't send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world. But that the world, you and I, might have life through him, in him. That is an absolute. That will never change. That is a very center point. That is the very foundation of our preaching, of our teaching, of the Bible. John 3:36 is an absolute. Jesus said, he who believes in him shall have life. Now, that word believe means more than just a mental acknowledgement. Yeah, there was Jesus. He was born, yes. But that word believe is that we invite him into our life and he enables us to do a complete turnaround, not walk away from him or deny him, but follow after him and love him and adore him and worship him. The one who rejects him does not have life. They may have physical life, but eternal life is not in their future. We look at John 14:6, another absolute. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except he come through me. It doesn't matter what preachers or teachers say today, that there are many ways that we can come to God. The Bible says, Jesus said, no, there's one way, and that way is Jesus. We can't come in any other way. We can try, but it won't be accepted. But that is an absolute. And then the last one is another absolute. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to rob, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That Jesus wants to give you abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant grace. Whatever you need, Jesus wants you to experience it in abundance. Now, we see from that that there is one who devalues life, that meaning the thief or Satan. And there is one who values life, that person is Jesus. There is one who devalues significance, purpose, and meaning. There is one who values every human being and sees purpose, significance, meaning, and great value in that life. And each one of you this morning, sitting here today, has value, has purpose, has meaning to God Almighty. And even we see that in the text that we read, that God has a purpose and meaning for his creation. He created Adam and Eve, and he said, "This is, let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air." And as you continue to read, God had purpose and meaning for them. This is what I want you to do. So he values life. He didn't come to take life from you, but he came to impart life to you. Jesus emphasizes this truth in Matthew 10:29. Where Jesus said that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. And to me, that's kind of an insignificant thing, but they are. What you might consider insignificant, God thinks the opposite. You're that important to him. And he goes on to say that the Father even cares about the sparrows. He said, "One does not fall to the ground that the Father doesn't know about." And then Jesus made this statement, "You are worth more than many sparrows." The devil would want us to believe today that we are insignificant, that we don't have any value. But we know that according to the word of God, that the devil is a what? Liar. He is the father of all lies. There is absolutely no truth found in him. So when Jesus says that you have more value than many sparrows, dear people today, you have value, and the unborn have value. The unborn have significance. The unborn are precious to God. In God's eyes, every person, born or unborn, has purpose, value, and has meaning. The question can be asked then, when does God take an interest in an individual? When does God place value on a person? When does God place a meaning or give purpose and meaning to an individual? Is it before they were born? Is it after they were born? Is it after they are born in anew, born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus? Is it when we reach a certain age? In Jeremiah, the prophet writes in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he said, "The Lord said to me, I knew you before you were formed within your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as my spokesman to the world." Before Jeremiah was even born, God placed value, God placed significance, God placed purpose on Jeremiah, and God does the same to each and every human being today. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says that we've been knit together in my mother's womb, and I have been, what, fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't all look alike. And we can probably say amen to that. Or thank God for that. But we see there that God knits us together. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when you really think of the human body, man couldn't design anything this fantastic. You know, every cell, all that, and I'm not a biological person, but every cell, all the things that go on, our immune system, how the body, you know, takes care of itself if we take care of the body, of course. But how unique a human being is And it just didn't happen. Some segments of society today have lost all respect for life and has devalued life. But the taking of life, the elimination of the innocent or the aborting of the innocent, the vulnerable, the unprotected child goes against anything that God stands for. And it just amazes me when you look at babies and children, how anybody could abuse them. How anybody could do some of the unthinkable things to these dear children. But no matter what it's called or how it's labeled, it violates God's law. It violates God's word. It violates God's heart. It violates God's love for humanity. But as we look at all of this, but our God is merciful. God, our God is gracious. Our God is forgiving. No matter what we have done, no one is ever too far from God's love. No one is ever too far from God's love. Anyone who has had an abortion, been involved in an abortion, there is a God who loves you and is willing to forgive, to take the guilt and the pain and the shame and heal emotionally that person. He will receive you with open arms if you earnestly come to him. I'm reminded of the story, the parable of the prodigal son. The youngest son went and told, he asked his dad, "Hey, I want my inheritance, you know, and I'm out of here." The father gave it. We have no reading or nothing in scriptures that says the father tried to talk him out of it. But he came, he took the inheritance and left. He wasted all of his money. He found himself in a situation that, you know, he didn't want to be in. And that's how sin will act. That's what sin does to you. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And he found himself in a situation, and the Bible says when he came to his senses, he thought back, and even the father's servants have it better than he does. And he said, "I'll go back. I'll ask the Father forgiveness." And as he was on his return journey, and I'm sure that the father had been praying for his son, praying for people. Don't ever stop praying for people. Don't ever stop praying for your family. Don't ever stop praying for, just don't ever stop praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without long periods of time where you come to the God. And we have to say, "God, hey, you know, it's me again. Remember me." But pray without ceasing. And as the son came near to the father, and the father was standing there looking, he had to be looking because he saw a figure in the distance. And he recognized his son. And he didn't wait till the son got to him. He ran to the son. The father ran to the son. And that's how we are in our relationship with God. If we get serious with God and we come back to God, no matter what we've done, we're never too far that we're away from the love of God. That God won't run to you. God won't run to me. God won't run to anyone. He'll take him in his arms. He'll hold you. And that's what Adrian felt. The God, the loving God who has arms, and he took her in his arms. And he comforted her. And that God will do the same today. That is true of anyone who doesn't know Christ today. That is true of anyone who has maybe known Christ at a time and has just drifted away very slowly. If you've ever been to the ocean and you're in the ocean and sometimes the current, if you're not careful, the current will take you further than you want to go away from where you are. And that's what sin will do. It'll just take you further away if we're not aware. But if we come to the Father today, He will receive you with open arms. And if you feel a tug in your heart today, that is the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart today. If you feel trapped today, if you feel rejection today, if you feel hopeless today, God is still an amazing God. God is still in the transforming business. But the one requirement is you come to Him. You take the first step. That's all is required today. You take the first step and God will come running to you. Whatever you're dealing with today in your personal life, God is here to meet and touch you today. Life is precious. The unborn is precious. You are precious. You have purpose. You have meaning. We just have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ today and allow Him today to work in you. He will, the truth today, as Adrian said, the truth will set you free today. That's one of the things that Jesus said He came to do, to set captives free. So if you feel like you're being held captive, you have no hope, God is here today to meet you if you will come to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You so much today. We thank You for the redemptive work of Calvary today. We thank You, Lord, today for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin today. And God, we pray for, God, these abortion workers. And God, we pray that the Holy Spirit, only You can convict people of sin. And God, we pray the Holy Ghost conviction upon hearts and people today. We know that You value life. The unborn has great value, great purpose, great meaning, great significance. God, forgive us today of what we have allowed to do. As believers today, we are to pray. And God, if Your people would humble themselves and pray and seek Your face and turn from our wicked ways, You would forgive our sin and You would heal our land. We need a healing today, God, and only You can do that. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, this remaining time to You. And we pray for America. We pray for a spiritual awakening by the Holy Spirit moving across this great land. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank You.
Lord, we just gaze on Your presence in awe. What else can we do but worship You? We see Your beauty and Your goodness that you chose to give us value and worth. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, He who has made you and cared for you and given you purpose, go from the service today and proclaim His name everywhere you go, in your workplaces, at school, at home, to your family. Make His name be known and affirm the worth of every person that you meet. And go forth from this place giving Him praise in everything you do. Amen.